So the fifth day of creation, it's all about the further progression in spiritual growth that takes place in us as we begin to receive love of the Lord and the neighbor into ourselves. And this happens as we do the things the Lord teaches, especially back on the third day. We're starting to learn to see the difference between heavenly and earthly things, and we're starting to do the things the Lord teaches, but for the most part, in the beginning, we're doing them all for the wrong reasons. We're thinking about reward, you know, what's in it for me? We're starting to think about how can I get heavenly reward? We're starting to be afraid of punishment. We don't want to go to hell. And we're concerned about the approval of others and especially about comparing ourselves to others. So we have this thought in almost everything we do because that's the way it feels, and it's supposed to feel that way, that the good we do is our own good. And a large part of this creation story is about moving away from that thought. And the Lord gives us the thought that life is our own and that everything that comes into us is our own, because otherwise we couldn't respond to Him and be joined to Him and feel like we're in a relationship. But if we really believe that we do it ourselves, then we lose our connection to Him. Let's read from Secrets of Heaven, number 39. After the great lights are kindled and placed in the inner self, and the outer self is receiving light from them, the time arrives when we first start to live. And the little dots there mean that I left out some chunks of passages and references. On our own, we are dead, and we have nothing but evil and falsity inside, with the result that we produce nothing from ourselves that has life. So true is this, that by our own power we cannot do anything good, at least not anything inherently good. And again, a bunch of passages follow from the Bible about how we can do nothing good. Still, when the Lord brings us back to life or regenerates us, He first allows us to harbor these mistaken ideas about doing good from ourselves. At that stage, we cannot view the situation in any other way. Neither can we be led in any other way to believe and then perceive that everything good and true comes from the Lord alone. And one of the things that this last paragraph tells me is, as we become aware of the fact that our good is always corrupted, and only the good from the Lord is really worth doing, we don't need to feel awful about ourselves, because the Lord sees that that's the only way for us to grow, and He uses those things. Growing into the belief that everything good and true comes from the Lord alone does not happen in a moment. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't even happen in a year. It is a process. The teachings of the new church, where they treat of this fifth day of creation, are focusing on the process, emphasizing the process, and showing the progression of changes that takes place in us, which is illustrated by the different things in the Bible. And, you know, every one of these stories has so many layers of meanings. On one level, it's talking about the Lord Himself and His own process when He was glorifying His human. There is a meaning of abundance in this story. The experience of variety, of thinking and understanding and believing are at the heart of our experience of the fifth day. As we make the transition from doing things on our own to doing things from the Lord, we begin to be aware of how great the opportunity is to do and understand what is good and true. So today in our reading, we read from the New King James Version, and I went and looked at maybe 50 other English translations, and every one of them takes the Hebrew words that are there and uses them to talk about abundance, a teeming with life is one of the words that comes up. Swarming with life are some of the words that are translated. So we'll read that first verse in Genesis again. Let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of heaven. But if you are following along and reading in Swedenborg's writings, in the teachings for the new church about this day, you would see that this first, or this 20th verse of the first chapter of Genesis is translated differently. Swedenborg translators, when their work, Swedenborgian translators, when they're translating the Bible, all emphasize a different meaning of the word that is generally translated abundance. So let's read that same verse in a Swedenborgian translation. And God said, let the waters cause the creeping animal, a living soul, to creep out, and let the birds flit over the land, over the face of the expanse of the heavens. The first reading that we read emphasized the abundance, the seas being filled with fish, and it's a parable of our minds being filled with understanding, with truths, with growing awareness of the incredible immensity of infinite wisdom from the Lord. And we're taught that when you read even a single word or a name in the Bible, that meaning opens up as it is understood in the heavens, the lower heavens understanding way more than we do, and then the middle heavens more yet, and the higher heavens more yet, and then the Lord, of course, understanding the meaning of that one word infinitely, which is why I thought it would be useful to talk about that this morning. The first reading that we read focused on the abundance, and abundance is important. The seas are filled with fish, and on the fifth day, our minds begin to be filled from love of the Lord and the neighbor with understanding and with thoughts of compassion and all of those things. Swedenborg focuses on the creeping animals. They're creeping out. And this is because in the original Hebrew word, the word to creep and the creeping that is in the verb, both the noun and the verb there, have the idea of creeping as well as abundance. And that may have been because the Hebrews in writing experienced lower forms of life, whether you're thinking about ants or flies or, you know, all of the minnows and fish and crabs and things that are in the ocean, they thought of them as both abundant and as crawling. So those two meanings were associated. And I think Swedenborg focuses on the idea of creeping animals because of the huge range of growth that is involved in the spiritual meaning. And if you think about what is in the oceans, it isn't just fish. There's mollusks, there's crabs, lobsters, barnacles, shipworms that bore holes in ships and cause them to fall apart. The list is almost endless. And some of them are really a pretty low life. And some of them are full of life. Think of the salmon who leap up the waterfalls in order to go spawn, or the whales who, for no real apparent reason, leap completely out of 40 tons of whale, leaves the water, and splashes back into the water. It's almost as if the whales realize that there's something lofty about their representation, and if only they could be birds. Dolphins play in the bowels of the waves of ships, and there's this playful energy. I don't know what good it does them, but they do it for hours. And so we creep along toward life, toward spiritual life. But the Lord is creating abundance in us and progression. You know, you start creeping, but gradually we are experiencing higher and higher life forms, first in the oceans of our understanding and then in the loftiness of our spiritual thought. And God blessed them, we read, on the fifth day as well. The middle verse says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. All of the progressions of creeping animals, including lively fish, lead to the birds in the air, which raise our thoughts both literally and spiritually into the heavens. Birds soar, and they also have perspective. Think of crabs or oysters as compared with eagles. But that's part of the abundance of spiritual life that happens in us, represented in this fifth day. So there's a story in the New Testament that talks about abundance, and I wanted to read that. It happened after the Lord was crucified, and he appeared a number of times to his disciples. And the last time was at the Sea of Galilee. And as I said to the children, Jesus told his disciples they would become fishers of men. And truly they did. But the Lord knew they would have to do it from love if they were to be successful. Let's read in John 21, verses 1 to 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. If you think about this spiritually, it's I am going to spread the gospel. And they said to him, we are also going with you. And they went out, and immediately they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fishes. And that is just like what we read on the fifth day. The abundance that happens when we do things from love of the Lord. Because love of the Lord is meant by casting our net on the right side. And think about how fishing all night, catching nothing, having to answer the Lord, no, we haven't anything to eat, are processes we go through when we are thinking that we're doing it on our own. And the disciples had to go from a state where they thought they were on their own teaching the gospel, and now they realize that the Lord was doing the work, and that they just had to put their feet to the ground and open their mouths and say what the Lord told them to say. When we have love and gratitude for that love, there is abundance. Think about how the Christian church spread throughout the whole world. So I want you to turn to the front page of your pew card where there's a summary of the meaning of the fifth day right at the top below the logo there. Swedenborg's Secrets of Heaven number 11 says, in the fifth stage, we speak with conviction and in the process strengthen ourselves in truth and goodness. The things we then produce have life in them and are called the fish of the sea and the birds in the heavens. And so this week's task focuses on gratitude. It suggests that you make a gratitude list each day and invites you to notice how when you make a gratitude list, things come into your mind that you weren't thinking about being grateful for. And you can stop and attribute them to the Lord. Notice how your thoughts are elevated as part of the task, and you begin to see the goodness from the Lord everywhere. So the point of the gratitude list is to turn our minds to the Lord, to become aware of His many gifts and the blessings He is giving us. And doing this raises our mind from the creeping and crawling types of thoughts that we are in when our thoughts are like the fish or the whales. And finally, we begin, spiritually speaking, to soar like the eagles. Amen.